This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, a show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Thanks for Derek for the news and of course to the great Gaz Man himself for the morning show. Jackie once again, and I'm joined with my co-hosts, Tex, the wonderful Tex, and of course Jessie from Health Promotion at the Victorian AIDS Council, and the radio team. Welcome everybody.
Thanks, Jack.
How are we? Thanks, Jack. Good to be with you again, my dear.
What have you been up to?
Oh, well, you know, it's just full-on excitement. I was at the Trough Party on Saturday night Club 80, which was a great collaboration between the Victorian AIDS Council and DanceWise, part of Harm Reduction Victoria. What have you been up to?
Well, what I did, I was so impressed by the soundtrack of Holding the Man.
That's the movie, Holding the Man?
The movie, Holding the Man. I went out and bought it on the weekend, and it's funny because I've heard a few people comment about some of the songs that were played throughout the film weren't around during that era. So the soundtrack booklet explains it all. Neil Armfield says they picked music that was mentioned in the book, but also continued that theme of music they thought Tim would have been interested in and liked.
All right.
And also, I thought Rufus Wainwright wasn't around back then. But Rufus Wainwright, who wrote the most beautiful song for the soundtrack, he wrote that especially for Holding the Man. So, full marks to the production team and Neil Armfield for getting such a great soundtrack together. And just if you haven't seen it yet, there's a very special mention, I'll text, that they should not leave until after the credits finish, should they?
That's right, because after the credits, there's a very special extra part of the film. And so many people say, oh, I didn't know, and I've been Facebooking it enormously.
No,
I know. Oh, that's right, because I think a few people might have thought the film was over when the credits came up, as you usually do, though.
I always wait for the end of the credits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Right till the end?
I like to see who did the music and stuff.
Oh, good.
Hmm. We've got two special guests on Well, Well, Well today to inform the listeners on their personal experiences. Tex, can you please explain who we've got coming in to chat to us?
Oh, Jack, of course. Our first guest, of course, needs little or no introduction to the Joy family, as he's part of the fabric here at Joy and part of the community tapestry more generally. He's a broadcaster, a social commentator of many years standing in the GLBTI, and a GLBTI activist. That, of course, is Mr. Dean Beck. Dean will be talking to us about the Positive Leadership Development Institute and what it can offer to members of the community. But that's not all. There's more. Later in the show, we're going to be speaking with our second guest, Mr. Ben Riley. He's a journalist of many years standing with MCV, but more recently, he's become one part of the communications team at the Victorian AIDS Council. Ben has just returned from a holiday in New York where he visited the LGBT Community Centre, which I understand is a rainbow centre, if I may use that term.
So, at Well, 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 we talk about topics that relate to the GLBTI community and are all about sex, health and well-being.
That's correct. And if you'd like to join us and be part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can like us on facebook.com/ Well, 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 Joy. You can call 1-300-JOY-949 or you can send us an email onair@joy.org.au or send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949. And of course, we can't forget Twittering, can we?
Oh, no.
Tweet us at Well, 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 Joy.
Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're with Jack, Tex and Jessie from the Victorian AIDS Council. Today we're talking with Dean Beck, who needs little or no introduction, as Tex just said. And Dean, welcome to the studio. Usually it's on the other foot. You're usually the one conducting all the interviews, not being interviewed.
I'm delighted to be here. This is the first time I've ever been on Well, Well, Well.
And seriously?
I'm absolutely chuffed.
All these years?
Yeah.
Well, it won't be the last time,
well,
I'm sure.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Dean, you're here to talk about something very important. It is the Positive Leadership Development Institute. So maybe if we just go back and say, Let us know, what is it all about? Can you begin by explaining what that represents?
The PLDI, or Positive Leadership Development Institute, came out of the stigma survey in 2012 here in Australia. And there was a need identified to help build resilience and fight stigma. And Brent Allen from Living Positive mm-hmm. Victoria did a search of the world of different programs that could have been adopted or adapted, and he came across this particular one, which was tailored for people living with HIV in Canada. And maybe that's why he wanted to particularly adopt it. I don't know.
But he's Canadian.
Yes,
so.
Yes. But they'd sort of done a lot of the basic framework and have been doing it for a few years as well. And so he brought it out to Australia and engaged a whole heap of tremendous partnerships who have got on board and see the value in this from all various agencies as well as corporates and community.
So is this interlinked with the Enough campaign, which is about fighting stigma? Is it
not at all, but Enough also came out of that 2012 stigma survey.
Okay, okay. Right? So they're both offspring of
Yeah, that's right. Certainly Enough was identified as being a very needed, and an awareness campaign, and that came out of the survey that was on stigma. Yeah,
building resilience. It's a good term, I think, because people have been over the years have been subjected and still are in many areas subjected to stigma and have been flattened by their experiences. Sometimes,
in some ways, I think the stigma these days is even greater. It's kind of a bit more insidious. It might be a little less profound as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a little
not
bit more
overt.
Black and white. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These days, I think internalized stigma is rife, and that's a whole different issue. But stigma from within our own community against each other is quite readily everywhere, sadly. Mm.
Now, Dean, how long have you been involved with the Institute set here in Australia, or how long has the Institute been in Australia?
Well, in 2014, the first course was held in Australia for PLDI. I have just completed the course last weekend. Two days ago.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realise it was such a reason.
Sunday evening. But I also had done an interview with two of the candidates before and an after interview with them about 12 months ago when it first started. So I had a bit of an understanding of what it was aiming to achieve, but I didn't know what it would do and how it would do it.
So it's a course or a training session?
Yeah, it's a workshop seminar thing.
And how long does it go for? How long does it, for example, your training, how long did it last?
We arrived Friday afternoon up at a resort in the Dandenongs, and we left mid-Sunday afternoon. So
it's a live-in?
Yeah.
So what's the overall aim of this program? What is the desired outcome, you could say, from once completed this course?
Certainly to for people to identify their leadership capabilities and also to understand what different forms of leadership are. You know, not everyone needs to be the Steve Jobs. You know, there are all sorts of different leaders and all sorts of personalities that can lead in different ways, you know, and still achieve great outcomes for community and for themselves. So it's identifying those. It's identifying where you fit into that, and also the work on resilience and identifying internalized stigma and external stigma, and stigma, you know, under various categories as well. You know, we stigmatize under things like gender and different languages and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
And how many people are involved in the training you did or the course?
There's always three facilitators and 12 candidates. That's it. And there's quite a waiting list to get in because it's proved really popular in Canada. They've also built another sort of second and a third tier course, you know, sort of you can continue.
So it's
your
not
training.
Just a one-off. There's the potential for
there is the
additional.
And here in Australia, they're looking at adding those at least one other course as more and more alumni graduate. Yeah.
So about building connection and confidence?
Networking's a very big part of it, absolutely. And they are very specific about the makeup of the group. So there is sort of a newly diagnosed and a long-term diagnosed and a straight woman and a woman from an ethnic background and people from all different walks of life right around the country. And it's a because it's the individual stories that become the most powerful.
Hmm.
And when you have that diversity, that mix of a group, everyone gets to share in that. It's great.
Hmm.
You've sort of preempted the answer to my question, Dean, but I was going to ask you, who is the course for? Is it for people who identify as natural leaders? For example, you're well known in the community, so it doesn't surprise me that you've done this course. But what about, is it like the man on the street, the positive man on the street, the positive woman on the street, up-and-coming young people who are HIV positive?
A friend of mine said yesterday to me, leaders are born, they're not made.
All right.
And I said, well, I gave that little sort of example of the different types of leaderships and tiers of leaderships. And he then sort of went, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. You know, not all leaders are Steve Jobs or, I don't know, Richard Branson or Tony Abbott, you know. There are, thank God. So there are different forms of leadership. What was the question, Tex?
Who is it for? Who is it for? Is it average people, or is it people who see themselves as leaders, or people who can be developed into leaders?
In Australia, the way that the candidates are selected, you've got to apply, but they tend to have had some form of connection to community in some way, or worked with, or supported, or volunteered in, or so they've kind of had some. I wouldn't say leadership, but they've had involvement in organisational stuff. And this is all about just empowering people to step up and you know, create change.
That's good to know that they're selected more upon, their involvement with the community as opposed to what leadership, per se, that they've been going through, which is quite encouraging.
You don't have to have, achieved something on a sort of, scale of success other than doing what you do well,
So would you recommend people to go for this course?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah? Definitely found it beneficial?
Yeah, there was quite a few people that had done the Genesis training before. Mm-hmm. And so they were familiar with, some sorts of elements of the process, but or the idea that it is a process, But I don't... that's not compulsory. I certainly hadn't done Genesis. But I would certainly recommend that anyone that wants to improve themselves, give back to their community and create change should do this course, yeah.
I guess it sounds like it's putting meat on the bones of the MIPA or GIPA principles, meaningful involvement of people living with HIV/AIDS or greater involvement. It's a practical pathway, if you like, to make things more meaningful and hopefully participate in some of the processes and systems and services down the track.
It will certainly enhance organisations and community, the community on the whole, from positive, negative, even not HIV connected or not gay and lesbian connected. People will take things out of this course that will better themselves in their workplace, in their own life and well-being and in the work of that they give back to community. So everyone wins.
Yep. When you were doing the course, and from what you discussed with other people who had done the course, and then you'd interviewed them both pre and post during the course, does it push the participant to confront issues? Did you feel as though you were pushed to confront particular issues that you may not have considered before when you were doing the training?
I felt I was made aware of things, but not I'll be quite honest, I thought I was going to be pulled apart and then put back together, type of thing.
Yep.
And there'd be a big crash at somewhere in the middle, and by the time I finished, I'd be great. It wasn't like that at all. It was kind of exercise-based and process-based, and there are some things that challenge you, but they challenge different people differently, you know. What might be challenging for me may not be for somebody else. And it's a great sharing environment. It's a safe environment, and it's a great way to share your stories and thing, you know, issues.
It sounds intense, actually.
It certainly was. I was pretty stuffed by the end of the weekend. It was sort of emotionally draining, not so much physically, but yeah.
Great, we'd love to hear more about it, Dean. We'll be right back. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Did you know Joy Audio Production Services can help you with your audio recording needs, no matter what the task at hand? We have a way to support you and your business. We can produce radio-style interviews for your website, on-hold greetings, podcasts, voiceovers for video, and more. Call Joy's production manager, Jason, on 1-300-569-949 or email production@joy.org.au. That's 1-300-569-949. Joy Audio Production Services, commercial-grade audio quality at community radio rates.
That's right. Please support the sponsors of the Joy radio station, because without them and without you, we wouldn't have Joy or the programs we do enjoy here in the GLBTI community.
That's right.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy, and we're speaking with Dean Beck about the Positive Leadership Development Institute. Dean, it sounds like an excellent course, or maybe it's best at as a personal investment in one's own life. But is it for everybody? Do you think you need to be in a particular personal space to deal with this? It could be intense. So where do you have to be in your own sense of self?
Perhaps? Yeah, I think you do have to have a sense of having worked through some of the initial, you know, early initial diagnosis stuff. And I guess that's why so many people had done the Genesis course that were doing this. I think there is a need to...
Just for our listeners that don't know, do you want to quickly explain what the Genesis course was?
Genesis is a course for newly diagnosed people living with HIV. And I think Genesis does an amazing job, but it's not about creating leadership and building resilience and breaking molds, you know, and standing up and speaking out. And I guess that's part of what came out of this weekend, yeah.
So, Jane, okay, what motivated you to do it? Was it someone talking you into it, someone just sharing the information and saying, hey, this would be great for you, mate? Or what was the reason that you chose to undergo the training to do the weekend away, to, you know, give up a weekend of your time and do it?
Well, I guess the lovely Brent Allen put the hard sell on me from day one. You know,
you meant that nice as possible way.
In that, you know, lined up the before and after interviews when it was first held, and once they'd ironed out the problems from the pilots and stuff. So I was aware of it. I don't know whether he was deliberately planting the seed then or what, but he kept on me about it and said, you know, whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready.
But the fact that he kept saying whenever you're ready reminded you that you had to be ready at some point.
Pretty much.
So that's pretty good. Yeah, strategic, Brent.
Is there any advice you'd give to someone who was about to start the course, or any tips of someone who was kind of on the edge of thinking about doing it? What would you say to them?
I would say if you're a super control freak and you can't just let things go and allow yourself for one weekend to be in the safe hands of the facilitators, then, you know, you may not want to go. And
maybe
that's not easy.
Overcome those issues first.
That's not easy for some of us, you know, control freaks. So, you know, just letting yourself do the stuff, be present, contribute, listen. And the other people, the other delegates were just extraordinary. I mean, they were the most amazing people. It was a real privilege to be amongst them.
And you share a lot of personal stuff, don't you, in such intense workshops, that it's a strengthening, it's a bonding thing. It'd be quite a unique experience to go through it, I think. And
yeah, and some of their stories are extraordinary and mind-blowing and wonderful and inspirational and powerful.
Mm. Do we know, can you tell us who the facilitators are of the course? Is that public knowledge or is that change?
There are only a handful of facilitators that are drawn from the host host organisations, like ACON, Living Positive.
Yep.
And I think they're looking at fostering some of the graduates sort of up through into being facilitators as well.
Okay, so the participants will become, may become facilitators and leaders in their own way for such a
Yeah, and for some project. People, I think they would love to do that. For others, you know,
not their cup of tea,
they're busy leading elsewhere.
Now, is there someone to talk to if someone's interested in doing the course? Perhaps to ask general questions. We looked at the website, and actually while we were playing that track, we looked at the website to make sure that it was on Living Positive Victoria's website. So would you suggest that people just go there and read about it, or is there a way, a facility, some way that people can ask questions if they want to find out more?
There are four of these workshops every year, and this year they're having an extra special one in New Zealand. And so if you don't get in the first time and you're keen to do this, I would suggest you try again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps look at how your involvement with community might be able to be sold better in your application form.
Yep.
Because it's, you know, it's a competitive process. There are more than 20 applicants for the course that I did.
The fact that it's a competitive process really makes a big statement to me about where people have come as in the process of the HIV epidemic. They're ready to be out there. They're ready to be seen, to be heard, to provide leadership, to participate more fully, instead of being sort of marginalised and on the edge all the time. I think it's a great investment in people, really.
Of the 12 people that were there on the weekend, there was over 150 years of lived experience with HIV.
Mm.
That adds up to over 1,000 years of lived experience amongst the PLDI alumni in Australia, and internationally over 7,000 years. So there's a lot of experience there and a lot of knowledge and a lot of information and resilience.
Mm. It's quite inspiring, I think.
And so, you know, we draw on that. It reminds us to not devalue our value in the space too.
Which could be people could fall into that perhaps in the previous years with HIV.
I just describe the HIV timeline very roughly as the decade of death, the decade of hope, the decade of silence, and this is a new decade of empowerment, engagement, and this is certainly a part of that.
Oh, that's terrific.
That's very poetic.
It is. Now, this is a national process, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. It moves around from state to state as to who is sort of the host state each time. And the deal is that the host state gets 6 of the 12 participants and the other 6 come from anywhere and everywhere. So there's lots of scholarships. I was lucky enough to be the inaugural winner of the Kirby Institute scholarship, and Kirby have put $2,000 towards PLDI for individuals to pay their course fees and accommodation and that sort of stuff.
So congratulations. Thank you. Well done.
Thank you. And thank you to Kirby Institute in Sydney for that funding support. So there are ways that, you know, if you're being held back financially, there might be a way that they can help you through if you really want to do it.
And where do people find out more?
livingpositivevictoria.org.au/programs/PLDI.
Very good memory, because we just looked at that.
So just head up to the Living Positive Victoria website, and under there, events or programs, I think it is, there's a drop down for PLDI.
Great. Are there any last words you wanted to add, Dean?
I would like to thank my facilitators, who were amazing, and my wonderful co-participants, who were extraordinary, for their putting up with me and for sharing their stories that were truly amazing.
Well, that's great. Well, on behalf of Well, 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 we'd like to say thank you so much for coming onto our show and speaking about PLDI.
Thank you very much.
And Yes, for the first time on Well, 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 but Dane, most definitely not the last time on Well, Well, Well.
Absolutely. No, I look, to be honest, I was invited one other time and I forgot and missed it. So,
is that right?
Maybe it was a heavy night.
maybe.
But thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much. That was Dean Beck, who was talking about PLDI, and this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and joining us now is our very own Ben Riley, who's part of the communications team at VAC, who's going to be talking about his recent trip to New York. I'm very jealous, but also about his trip to the Rainbow Centre. Ben, welcome.
Hi, Jesse. It's good to be here.
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. It's exciting.
This is the first time we've done radio together, actually.
It is the first time we've done radio
together.
Well,
I hope you get used to it, because I will be pulling you onto radio a lot.
Oh, it does make sense. It does make sense. And you aren't a radio virgin by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all. Look at how comfortable he is. He knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
His famous last words. We'll go with that.
So, Ben, exactly what was the LGBT centre that you visited in New York?
So, it's a community centre, basically. They're an organisation kind of like VAC, but without the HIV focus. So, it's a big building that the community's owned for some time, I think since the mid-80s. They house a bunch of community organisations, so there are a bunch of spaces in there where community organisations can kind of rent cheaply to have meetings and those sorts of things. Similar to VAC's building, main building in Melbourne, there's a LGBT archive in there as well. It's kind of a general sort of community meeting space. There's a cafe and kind of computer rooms and that sort of thing.
Hmm. So, if HIV wasn't their focus, do they just focus on anything GLBTI related? So, is there any focus on sexual health per se, or is it just really quite a broad range of services?
I would say that the health focus is kind of more well-being in general. So, they do run some services as well. They have programs there, all sorts of things, and similar to the kind of stuff that VAC does, so peer support programs, as well as all the organizations that they host do their own programs as well. But I think, I mean, it is kind of a broad focus. It's about, I guess, community building in a really explicit sense, having a place where a physical space that can be owned by the community where groups can kind of come and do the things that they do, you know, groups for people to come and be a part of.
I noticed that it was LGBT Center. No I in it. Is that a United States focus? The I isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know much about the background to this, but it's not. It's kind of LGBT most of the time in the US. I think intersex being a part of LGBT movements more broadly is a relatively recent thing. Australia, we've been doing it for, less than a decade.
Yeah, probably.
And it's really kind of starting to change in other parts of the world. I know in Europe, it's starting to change in the Middle East and in Asia as well. But not in the US. And I'm not sure if there is much of a push over that. I don't know much about the kind of intersex communities in the US at all.
Ben, you mentioned that the building, if you like, that where this centre is housed, you said is a little bit like the VAC building, whereas lots of community organisations come in and meet in the VAC building. But do you think the centre that you visited was sort of could be like a concept or a model for maybe a more inclusive building with not just the VAC and archives in it, you know, as in lots of different organisations coming together under one roof?
Sure. I mean, I think it... it's very much... It's not like the building is just a space where a bunch of organisations live. The centre is an organisation that runs the building and also puts on some of their own services and hosts the other organisations. So, it's not kind of collaborative in the sense that all of the organisations there have ownership over the space, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can't imagine, I mean, if in terms of it being a model, I mean, I can... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to have an organization like that that would be willing to take on that overarching sort of management role of the space. Or I guess there could be something more collaborative where it is a bunch of different organizations kind of actively actively having that ownership. You know, it's not... While it is a community space in a broad sense, it's also an organization that has its own agenda and does its own things.
Yeah. Did you see, or did you notice that volunteers played a large role in the work that we're doing there, kind of similar to VAC does, or was it more employed per organization?
Yeah, it seemed to be less visible. Volunteers seemed less visible than they are at VAC.
And I suppose your short visit there, it's kind of hard to...
Totally.
Really,
and I'm not entirely sure. I know that they do... I mean, people can kind of volunteer, you know, staffing the archives and that sort of thing, because that's a public space. And so, I think there are a few things like that, but it seemed to be less of a kind of primary focus than it is for VAC.
Did you have anyone there that you met that took you around and explained what they were doing, or kind of just...
No, I had a great time actually being kind of shown around. They seemed to have fun, so I got kind of a history of the building and all that sort of thing, and I was very curious about it all, and met with the comms people there as well, which was makes sense. They're my counterparts.
Comms, yeah.
Good.
So yeah, it was great. And I mean, I think they kind of enjoyed being able to talk about the differences between the two organizations as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll be right back, Ben. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our Joy podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our Joy program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a Joy member? You can become a Joy member anytime, online at joy.org.au or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
That's right. Welcome back to Well, Well, Well. We're speaking with Ben Riley, one of the communication team members at VAC. Welcome back, Ben. You're talking to us about your visit to New York and the LGBT Center. Did you gain any insight to any other services, any LGBT? I have trouble putting the L first, not the G first. Did you keep struggling there, John.
And the LGBT.
Did you have exposure to anything else in regard to the gay community, put it that way? The LGBT community.
And this is a G.
In New York.
Elsewhere in America.
And this is a G-rated hour. So, yeah.
Yes.
Careful
yes.
What you
In
say.
Terms of community organizations, yeah, I did. I went, I fulfilled a long-standing desire of mine to go to an ACT UP meeting.
How was that?
Yeah. It was really amazing. And they're one of the organizations that's hosted at the center. So they have... I mean, it's funny. I was sort of expecting it to be... I mean, I don't know, because it has this sort of mythic place in gay history. I was expecting it to be, well, I don't know, like something kind of like big and sort of official, but it really was just like a room full of grassroots activists kind of talking, you know, in a very sort of processy, democratic way about various issues, just in like a room at the center. So I am apparently also now, having attended one of those meetings, a member of ACT UP. You go and enter as a member.
It's a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you get it just for showing up. So.
But I think it's good that it's still alive and well.
Yeah, and there seemed to be quite active participation. I spent a bit of time chatting to one of the facilitators there about kind of the... whether it's kind of fluctuated in membership over time, but apparently they get a good turnout most weeks. It seems to be quite active. I mean, they talked about a really kind of wide range of issues, lots of stuff, and really very, their focuses seemed quite aligned with what VAC does, perhaps more than the center as an organization. I mean, obviously ACT UP is a very different thing. It's
change,
just an activist
advocacy.
Group. An advocacy group, but I mean, things like there's a lot of talk about substance use, about sex work, and kind of criminalization of those things, as well as you know, HIV, obviously the big big issue when I was there was discussion about the very kind of worrying closure of I can't remember what it's called, but a big gay health center in Chelsea in Manhattan was closed down, really with no community consultation, and so that's obviously a big was a big concern to them at the time. So they were kind of that was one of the things that they were wanting to come up with some action on.
So other than just the organizations, was there much of a large social space where people just kind of hung out? Or, I mean, you did mention a cafe, and I just wanted to know how much of that kind of contributed to the community kind of feel that was in that building.
Yeah, it's a bit hard to tell how much the cafe would be used. I mean, it seemed like it. I mean, definitely. So, apparently, when I went there, it had quite recently been refurbished, the whole kind of ground floor. So, there's now like quite a large foyer section and the cafe as well. And they said to me that before all that was put in, basically, yes, that having that kind of public space where people could just come and kind of hang out really did make it feel like a space that was owned by the community. Whereas before, I guess it was just the reception desk and then all the rooms that could be booked, which makes it maybe feel a bit kind of inaccessible or impenetrable if you're not kind of in the know, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So having, I mean, and I've thought about this a bit, I guess, particularly in relation to Melbourne, where we don't, you know, Commercial Road is dead pretty officially now. I think there's nothing, is there anything left?
No, it's so dead, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a sauna around the corner.
Sure, yeah. But off Commercial Road.
Yes.
And there's nothing else, really. I mean, there are a few in kind of Fitzroy Collingwood, but not many. I mean, not in any way that really feels like... We don't have a community space in Melbourne anymore. Even a scene kind of one. Tex is making a face, I suppose, to imply that the VAC building is that community space.
I would argue that there's a hub of venues and people in St Kilda on the south side. There's a hub of venues and people and organisations that congregate around the Collingwood, Abbotsford, Fitzroy area.
Sure, but I would say that these are communities that are not accessible to people unless you're already kind of in them, and they're not visible to people. In the same way that Commercial Road was.
Yep. Do we need to play some messages?
Last question.
I'll ask a question then. Okay. Now, Ben, given your background in the print media and the online media, what did you see of the gay press there? Was it terribly serious and intense, or was it a bit flippant and party scene, or a combination of the two?
I didn't see much in New York, but I went to a few other cities. I went to Boston and DC as well. I met with someone from a kind of gay street press in DC called the Washington Blade, which Star Observer, which is where I used to work, has a relationship with. And that was interesting. I mean, it seems like it was kind of depressing on some level as well, because they just have more money than we ever did at the Star Observer. I think that's part of the kind of culture of philanthropy that exists in the US that we just don't have here. But I would say, on a whole, gay street press in the US is thriving in a way that it's not here.
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and each week we talk about topics related to sex, health and well-being. If you'd like to get in contact with us, we're on facebook.com/WellWellWellJoy, or you can contact us at the Victorian AIDS Council, 9865 6700, or check out our website, vac.org.au. We've been chatting with Ben from the Victorian AIDS Council Communications Hub.
Thanks,
on
Ben.
His New York LGBT Centre. Thanks, Ben. Time is fleeting, but how about, was there a highlight of your trip? You know, other than the community centre, other than talking to people, to other journos and stuff, was there a personal highlight for you?
My partner and I hired a car, drove up the coast of Maine and saw lighthouses, and it was amazing.
Oh, fab.
That sounds beautiful.
Now, Tex, do we have any messages?
We do have a message which has come on, sadly one, but funnily enough, Jack, it's all about you. It says that Mr. Hall from the VAC is a sexy polar bear,
yummy.
Yummy. Oh,
I do have one last announcement that's about the Prep Now Forum. Mm-hmm. It's on the 22nd of September. It starts at 6. Well, we say arrive at 6 for a 6:30 start, and at the Herbert Smith Freehills, which is level 42, 101 Collins, which is a very beautiful venue. Mm-hmm. If you wanted any more information about that, you can go to the VAC website. So that's vac.org.au and just go to events and you'll be able to see the Prep Now Forum.
Perfect. I can't believe another hour has passed. Thank you, Ben Riley, for coming in. And thanks for Dean Beck for his personal insight into the Positive Leadership Development Institute. We'll be back same time, same place next week on Well, Well, Well. This is Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.